It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful day here. Can't do any better. Absolutely beautiful. Unfortunately, those on the East Coast were bracing for a storm, and the people in Puerto Rico and Texas and Florida, our hearts go out to you. And I hope that all of you out there that's listening to this here on the islands of Hawaii, be prepared. We've gotten perfect reasons now to at least be prepared and get a little wiser as to how you're going to handle your emergency. It's not if we're going to get a storm, it's when. So just be prepared, get you some food items, and make sure you get water. And if you know there's a storm coming and you can't make it to the stores, get you some plastic bottles, or, and I know that it's against grain, plastic and oil and all of that, but when your back's against the wall, it's okay to drink from a plastic container. Or you could drink from the ditch or whatever. It's a choice you make, but be prepared and look out for the neighbors. And we should just be informed, and we've been quite lucky here in Hawaii, whereas one storm after the other comes and misses us, and so we're lucky. So anyway, take care of that and be safe. So if you want to call in, 528-4181, 528-4181, or 524-9510. Now, a number of you sent me emails saying you couldn't get through the number and you kept dialing 524-1080. That's no longer a number that is existing, so, or working, we should say. So 528-4181, retrain the brain, and 524-9510. So much to talk about. We've been still aggressively trying to address the cat issue. And when the issue isn't about cats, the issue is about Suzanne Case and Ed Underwood and the underhanded ways that they are approaching this. Governor David Ige has yet to speak or give us any indication if he will sign the new legislation that the Board of Land and Natural Resources, as independent as they are and free to think on their own and all, you know that I'm being facetious. But the cards are stacked against you, public people. This thing, it's a ruse. It's about a subject that I've been trying over the last 2 weeks, trying to illustrate to all of you that sometimes there's a need to take action on many of things, and I'm all about the environment. I'm all about taking care of our fellow man and woman and child and all of that. But sometimes you have to take a look at the third level, so to speak. Dig deep and see what is the motivation. And so I'm getting a number of text messages here, but call in. I've given you the number there if you'd like to chat. But this cat matter is something that I equated to rogue cops setting up people, planting drugs on them, doing all kinds of things. Just the other day I saw someone out at the park in a surreptitious, covert manner, photographing people that feed cats and filming cats, and, you know, as if there's some crime. Damn it, if you think it's wrong and you think it's something that's going to be needed to be fleshed out publicly in a democratic process, why do you got to hide about it? I mean, the cats are obvious. The cats are there. So why is this sneak attack? So that tells you if it starts off being sneaky, there's somewhere down the line, there's Suzanne Case with a group of people that want to. And follow this. What I've learned something, and it's an insult to Native people, and those of you that are participating or lending yourself to this trick, just understand, it's not about you. But Suzanne Case is of the nature of the character that would incorporate Native people to settle a dispute, so to speak, amongst all people. But then look what she does on any given day about Native people issues. So don't lend yourself and put yourself in a fight and become an implement of bad government. Because what you're doing is that you might be feeling good about it and thinking they're going to reward you, but just think of it this way. You're entitled. You're a Native Hawaiian. This is yours any damn way. So you don't have to buddy up or cotton up to someone and do their bad deeds or compliment their bad deeds. Step back. Let the process take its course. And it's unfortunate because I've, in this effort, trying to see what is really happening. So often I see names that I've come across and I've helped in issues where the government was just sticking the screw to them. And they're now out speaking against the very thing of other people. And then it turns to some racial tones, like you referring to most of the people as the cat caretakers as howlies and go back home and you're missionaries and you came over here and all of that. And, you know, it would be like me saying to someone that you're not American because listen at your name. And then I say, well, I'm African American. My name is Cox. Well, I would know a guy with Kunta Kinte would probably have an issue with that. You know, so when you stoop to that level and when Suzanne Case and others rely and incorporate this kind of tactic and practice in it, then it's not about good science. It's not about caring for the environment. It's not about caring for animals. It's not about caring but for one thing, themselves. And we got to get out of that mode because the reality is Suzanne Case and many others have been involved in this state for a long time in the environmental arena. So if this is so bad with the cats, one must ask themselves, and how did it get so bad? If you guys had the true heart feeling, you know, deep down inside, this deep-seated love for the environment, how could you stand by and watch this train wreck, as you describe it, develop? Why weren't you? Because you were afraid that if you say something, they're going to obstruct and attack your programs, that you're getting the gravy from the government contracts and what have you. Was that going to be it? I don't know. But it seems to suggest that in every turn of the road. So I chuckle when I see people sneaking around with cameras and taking pictures. You know, if you're going to be a corrupt government, why waste your time? Just do it. And then let people have due process so that they can go into court or exhaust the various measures that they have at their disposal to challenge you, to include the governor. I mean, if the governor is going to just hold it overhead and at the last minute, well, I'll just sign this order. Well, that's fine, but do it in a timely fashion and an overt manner so that the people can know what their rights are, what they can do to challenge this and what have you, due process and being timely. So this is, it's kind of crazy because if you put this much energy into this thing called the cat problem, then what you're doing, you're allowing other things to be neglected, or you are neglecting your duty to do things in a broader sense. So take, for example, Kehi Lagoon, and I've talked about this, and I think that the success in coming is repeating it and sharing with you. So if you go to Carol Cox Facebook and I'll friend a centipede, it doesn't matter. You know, there ain't much you can do through Facebook. So if you're a centipede or a scorpion or a snake or a human being, just send me a friend request. And as long as we're not having to tolerate sexual or offensive racist remarks, then you're welcome. But Carol Cox is the Facebook. Or go to carolcox.com, and you can go there and see that. And we don't participate in these theories of how we're going to overthrow the government and don't like the government. If you don't like the government in America, join the democratic process and do it in a legal, sensible way. Or move, you know. I'm sure Mr. Trump could assist you if you hate us so bad here in America. But these are the ways we process things. It's not perfect, but we take issue. And we have a right to take issue with government. Just because the government proposes something doesn't mean we have to lay on our backs and wallow in the mud and say, just give it to us the way you want it to. No, it doesn't work that way. It never has, and it never will. So there's this great move to talk about bounty on cats. Bounty now. That $35, $40, $50, whatever bounty. Now, some people are attempting to joke, and there's one gentleman who just found himself to be profusely productive in writing about things about the cats, as if, you know, there's this big bully sitting on the bench, and everybody walk by, he has something to say to cause them, give them the chill factor. Well, that doesn't work. It might work just the opposite, believe it or not, because we get an insight as to who the Suzanne cases are courting and who will be doing their dirty work. So if we get a roadmap or all of this detritus that one writes and say and spew, then we can build an argument. So thank you very much. I mean, as I say, it's the language that's used in some of these postings. Some of you are really sensitive about it and think that, oh, no, he's saying this, but allow him to. Someone wrote a couple of private messages and saying, why don't we block him or block anyone? No, I'm a different believer. I believe that if I can see what, not the opponent, or what other people can do and they're willing to express it in their own words, then it becomes, as many of you know, verbal judo. Let them speak and let them be profuse and let them continue to chat. You take those words and you remind them later in your legal filings or whatever. Ask Mr. Trump all those comments that he had to make in his campaign and all, and then he wanted to build a list of blocking countries. What happened? He felt good saying it, and it was he was on a roll, you know, and people wearing those red hats for backwards and sideways and take back America, but America taught him a lesson. We hold you accountable today, yesterday, and tomorrow. So that's the joy of that. And so anyway, if you want to talk about cats or anything, 524-9510, and I'm going to be talking about that big, how do we equate this? These new developments are there that with the football league and that's what we see it on the surface, but it's this deep-seated racism that is prevalent and is always prevalent, but we won't talk about it because it's just not. Things are going to get better, and you know, and that's a black thing and what have you. You know the normal word, and it's still creeping within the hearts of many people, our neighbors, and sickening communities, and almost the nation is sickened with a racist taint to it. Anything now, you know. So I'd like to hear from you, some of those that used to call in and had everything to say about Mr. Obama, President Obama. But let me ask you a question. We hear this There's a couple of things. Now, Mr. Trump made a list of six countries or so, and he wanted to ban the migration or limit the migration or, you know, block it for a while. What's obvious and so blatant is that Russia is not in there, but people from Mexico and other places, he had horrible things to say. Call them rapists and criminals and thugs or whatever you come up with the name. But, you know, he didn't bother to put the Russians on, and the Russians seem to be involved as this investigation is fleshing things out. But as you know, it's also being dismissed now because the Russian thing is just a bunch of baloney, you know. And so is much of the other stuff that they bring Mr. Trump for being in behavior. It's just baloney. It's just fake news. So it's kind of interesting. Why did Mr. Trump put Russia on that list? These new revelations and these findings suggest that Russia had some horrible ideas and approaches to our government and our democracy, trying to destabilize it, trying to undermine it, trying to rid the planet of democracy. That's their ultimate goal. But isn't it funny? A nation that is proven, we're already in total disagreement in most instances, other than the international spaceship that we share with one another, but we understand that you hitch a ride with anybody. But and we share off when we have to shuttle and whatever. But it's rather ironic and comical that we would see Mr. Trump reach these decisions and make this list, this long list, and these lists does not include the Russians. Secondly, how horrible is it? I mean, if you were looking from the stance that Mr. Trump has taken, or President Trump, which is of a more important symbol, the office of the presidency, or the president, or is the office of immigration? And is the flag a symbol that is important? Is it more important than the office of the president or the office of immigrations? But I can't think of anything that's more offensive in my adult life that I've witnessed as far as related to racist behavior. And you can call it what you want to, and I'm entitled to describe it as I want to, and you're welcome to call in and share your description or how your assessment. But to chase a black man, or let me correct that, a half-white black man, you see, and deride the office of the presidency openly, with fervor and with excitement, and assembling a team of investigators to go and look at his birth certificate, and then you're standing, getting national attention, talking about them disrespecting, black men disrespecting the flag. Very interesting. So those of you that stand by and think that we're going to lay down and join in the chorus and singing, no, it's at some point you either part of the problem or you are the problem, or you should be able to discern between nonsense and lies and hatred. Because if not, it's not about black people not saluting the flag. Go look at your military and see how many black men and women are serving in the military. You see, the very people that are defending you, and then others might want to express themselves and object at the moment of this flag, or the Star Spangled Banner, or the national anthem being played. That's their right. But to go further, Mr. Trump has no problem in asking the people that hired the skinheads, seems to be a job now because they took off the mask and everything, and we now know who they are. So, if that's the case, then what happens? How is it that skinheads can walk and we say they have a right to speak and spew hatred and talk about the annihilation and blood and soil and all of that, and we know their history, and you have no problem dealing with them. You have no problem cohorting with them and in concert with them and spreading this vitriolic nonsense that you're talking, this hatred, this racist mindset that you seem to be willing to just share it with anybody, anytime, anywhere. So let's not, I ask those of you out there that do care, want to care and want to get this straight, think in those terms for a moment. You don't have to lend yourself completely to that, but ask yourself, which symbol and which act is more offensive? Defying a black man as a president, and then there's the first lady's office of symbol. And what was she described as? So it just seems that anything black that comes other than Dennis Rodman and Amarea, whatever, he has no use for us. And it reminded me when he makes his statement the other day about the football players, it just reminded me of some of the movies that I have witnessed and watched and the historical things that I've read where the plantation owner says, well, you're mine. I own you. I don't have to pay for you. And how dare you think you should get $1 million? A black man getting $1 million for his expertise or his ability to play ball better than others? Come on, America. We've got more examples in front of us now to assemble. It's like the world of Lego, of truth. It's all left up to you now to make it what you want. Little men, big men, men with orange hair, men with frosty thoughts, or men that are just crazy and filled with hatred. Well, that caller, you call back if you like to. Anyway, that is the thing. It's 524-9510, you can call back. You just call in, and 528-4181. And anyway, I don't know about you, and if you agree or disagree, it's not about either. It's about me saying to you, this is my observation, and these are my assessments, and I think that when we really put everything on the table. And we will learn from this that hatred and racism and bigotry and homophobia and all of that. And there is a sentiment, I think all of us are threatened. I hear more people now talking about how they hate the Jews and the Jews are conspiring to kill everybody and the Jews are this and the Jews are that. And it's something's wrong here. I don't know what it is, but all of us should be worried. And we've had many times be reminded of that where we have these instances. And so I guess if it's not directed at you today, then you're okay. But if it's me and their sights are trained on me and other blacks, then it's okay. Shooting in the streets. There is no damn way you could have the number of shootings that have occurred and with a judicial system and they all take the same end results. Not guilty. That either suggests that you think the average black person is just dumb as a stick in the mud, or you are corrupt and hate, really filled with hatred, and to allow that. And then to be follow up with the Department of Justice. When we remember, we used to think, well, the Department of Justice would follow up and investigate, even when they had hatred toward blacks and displaying it openly. But today, you shouldn't even bother to expect or anticipate any positive outcome. When I say positive, finding someone guilty. In the old days, it was rare that a white man would be charged for killing a black man. Now, he can kill a black man, and then video after video after video. And many of them There are a number of them, just as you see the things as you pull someone over, but to be pulled over for a tail light, and many of those times, that's something disputable, you see, because, why did you pull me over? Well, I pulled you over because you failed to signal, you were driving reckless and what have you. Well, the courts, where's the evidence? You know, unless your car light, you get banged at the same time, then it will show the way the filaments burn. They can try and determine if you are, your light was working or not. But that's a different subject. But to be pulled over for a parking light or a failure to signal, and the resolvement and the results of that stop is death. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be someone walking up to a counter and saying, here's my money, I'm paying for it, and you hand it to them, and then immediately it's not the right amount of money, and the person says, oh, you're trying to rip me off. I'm going to call the cops. Call the cops, started there, then it escalates. That's an extreme, but I have witnessed that kind of behavior where it results in fatal consequences. The jails are filled, and then we got the president. And many of you, you know, we witnessed that. That Take Back America little saying that they have, mantra or whatever it is. Take Back America. We should have been warned right there. Because what are you taking it back for, and who's taking it back, and who's going to benefit from the take back, the big take back? Who? And so, caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Don.
Yeah, Don, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm okay. Well, you see that I posted something on my Facebook, Don Filippi.
Yes, I caught that.
Well, what's your status? They threatened to evict you and even possibly fining you or arresting you. What's the status?
Well, just yesterday, Debbie called me and told me to come in the office, and she gave me a new permit, and it's for 6 months this time instead of 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back to the same time when they had approved my permit before, mm-hmm. that I used to go on February 28th.
Now, why are they pulling your permit, Don?
I don't know. I think it's just punishment.
For what? What punishment? For what crime? Or what violations that you are you being accused of?
For feeding the cat. After they told me not to, you know.
Okay. But they tell you not to feed them, and then there are other people feeding them. Were there other people getting letters or threats that they were going to be evicted or lose their boat? Going back.
No, I'm the only one.
You've been living there in the harbor on your boat for how long?
28 years.
28 years. And mm-hmm. I think you told me one time you were 19 years old. No, 80 something?
81. Yeah.
Well, I'm struggling to get there. So they tell you not to feed the cats. But there are others feeding the cats. You obviously think that this is an extreme measure. You had to express that.
These people, they want full power to do whatever they deem necessary. And that scares me because Steve Thompson had Ed Underwood's job before. He didn't like the ducks that we had here. We had about 100 ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody enjoyed them little ducks going around he went to the health department to get the poison. They wouldn't give it to him. So he bought it out of Mexico and did it himself. And we had about $100 to, all over the beaches and everything.
So you're saying that the DLNR, and this is prior to Ed Underwood becoming the boss, was Ed Underwood still was he working here during Thomas time?
Ed Underwood was running a jet ski rental thing.
Oh, that's right. He was a private private party that ran a jet ski, and then Linda Lingo, who hired him? Someone, one of those guys hired him.
I have no idea who hired him, but he worked his way right into the big shot.
So now, go back to the Steve Thompson. This is the first that I've heard of this. You're saying that you had 100, not you, but there were 100 ducks there at the harbor.
Yes.
At Kehi Lagoon.
Yes. And there's a little slip of island right behind the marina here where all the ducks live.
Okay.
And he killed them. So I went to fishing, game, wildlife, all them people, and they was not concerned at all about it.
So Don, hold on. You're saying Steve Thompson? You said he went to the Humane Society to get permission or get them to help kill them. They refused. Health department. They refused. And then you're saying that he ordered this poison, some poison from Mexico.
Yes, all the boxes were still laying on the beach, and Channel 9 News went out and filmed it all and ran it on their station for a couple, 3 days. It was a horrible sight. There was still a few ducks that were still alive. It took about 3 or 4 days before they ever died.
And then you know that he did, in fact, spread the poison.
Yes. Because the health department wrote me a letter and told me that he was wanting to put poison out.
Mm-hmm.
And I give the letter to Channel 9 News.
Okay.
And Channel 9 News confronted Steve Thompson about it right in front of the harbor office. And when he mentioned the ducks, he turned around and went in the office and shut the door and locked it.
Mm-hmm. So then you're saying that 100 ducks were poisoned by the state manager at that time, who was Steve Thompson.
Steve Thompson, yes.
And you filed a complaint. And did the Department of Land and Natural Resources get involved?
He was ahead of it.
Yeah, I understand, but did any? He's not the head of DLNR. He's the head of boating at the time.
Yes.
And harbors. But
nobody recommended him or anything.
So now they are saying that they won't. So this is interesting, because if they've already on occasion just broadcast poison, as you're claiming, indicating that this new rule that they are trying to pass is one that mentions that they can use any method that they desire.
That's right. That's what they're pushing for.
So
that's what they think they deserve.
So this,
they have no idea about animals, you know, or anything like that. There's other animals that can get into that poison when it's out in the open like that.
But no one should be poisoning ducks anyway.
No, sir, they shouldn't.
Regardless of the secondary poison level, I mean, to just broadcast it, that means that much of it got into the ocean and probably had an impact on the fisheries there, or the coral, the fish, or what have you, or the birds.
He even had dishes of antifreeze out there.
He would put antifreeze? Now, these are claims that I'm not privy to, I've not heard of these. I know people do put antifreeze out to the glycol gets in the lungs and kill the cats, but ethyl glycol or whatever it is contained and it's deadly to them. But birds, that's news to me. I'll see what we can find and paperwork. And you're saying that the KGMB or did an action?
No, Channel 9 News.
Okay.
Channel 9 News. That's when they was on Kalpiolani Boulevard.
Right. It's KGMB.
Yeah.
So maybe
I got no results from the government Fish and Game and Wildlife and the Humane Society. I just was driving down the street and I thought I'd take a chance and the anchor man and grabbed his camera and his announcer and away we went. I took him over to the island of my dinghy and we walked the island filming the whole thing.
So
and we got done.
So now this
went to the harbor office.
So we're not just making this up. We're saying when we say we're worried about this section that says any method that they choose or
they
deem necessary.
They have that kind of control.
And then they took an argument with the fact that what the information that I had gotten is that they were going to be shooting with air rifles as well.
They will do anything. They'll use nets and everything they can to get them. And then once they get them, they're going to euthanize them.
Yeah, well, the humane approach, but to just put out poison is for a conservation organization, an agency, a regulatory body, if that is true.
That's true. It's in effect. Yeah.
That information should be in the records where he purchased the poison with fundings from the state, or there should be some approval or something. And then, so what will happen is that this is a standard practice. We write a request to the DLNR now, and with Mr. Dan Dennison sitting there snarling and biting and trying to hide and everything, and he forgets that he works for the government. It's he and Suzanne Case's private bureaucracy.
That's what they figure. It's a private industry, and they're running it just like it was their own.
Yeah, and so they'll probably say, well, you can't see that because it's under investigation, or we don't have the records anymore, or
it
never happened.
Yeah.
Well, it's helpful, but it sure is depressing to know that. Well, I shouldn't say that because on the Big Island, just recently in the Western Big Island Tribune, I think one of the newspapers, like the real name of it, but they're saying there was an officer taking and soliciting free services from the various companies over there and on the Big Island. And
yes.
And there's and so how they do it, the Ed Underwood, he was I think one of the prosecutors, the county prosecutor for the Big Island, had some words that were not too flattering for in the description of DLNR Dobar, Department of Boating and Recreation. So what happens was Ed Underwood, in retaliation, filed an ethics complaint. You see,
yes,
so
he did.
So they operate in a fashion that if they don't like what you're doing, and if they don't get their way, they operate like the mafia.
Exactly, because
he
filed that request as a private citizen and gave his address as 4 Sand Island Access Road, where is the harbor office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not his address, so he lied on the form just to file that request about that he was a prosecutor over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just trying to get information to know what was going on, and they snubbed him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't give him any information.
Well, then you and I better be careful. We might end up going in a cup of soup, and it just isn't soup, Don.
Yes.
So, these guys are killers, man.
They are. They have no... They just got one agenda in their mind, and they go for it, and if anything gets in the way, they go around it or cheat it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. They don't...
They think they're powerful people, and they can do whatever they want.
So, then, you thinking, what's your opinion of this and outlook on the cat situation? Do you think it's going to get railroaded through? You think the governor is going to sign off on it? Because for me personally...
Well, I'm hoping that this meeting that they're having on Wednesday there at the Capitol, that public people will stand up and deny them this right to do what they want to do.
What meeting is this now, Don?
On Wednesday the 27th at 5 o'clock, they have a meeting on room, I think it's 429, I don't know, 429, 423. But it's people are protesting against this new law.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, Ige's already signed it. And it goes in effect in January.
Well, he may have, but it's not been made public. So we'll hold that thought. But again, it's not too late to contact the governor and ask him to not sign that bill or that piece of that administrative modification amendment. And then ask Suzanne Case need to go. I mean, I know all the conservation groups out there hold her in high esteem, but you know, at some point, we also have to look at the moral fiber that these things are built from. And just there's so much conflict and tolerance for corruption and abuse and malfeasance under her watch. And many of these things that are so-called environmental management tools are not successful. And this thing, broadcasting poison from the air to the, you know... let's make it easy. So every 5 years we dump poison all over the place, and that's a management effort.
That's the easiest way out for them, and they think we can do whatever they want.
Yeah, and so, you know, on one hand, we are managing this for the environment and to keep the pigs out. We put up fences and what have you. And then she's also the chairman of the same agency that says, well, we need more hogs up there because the hunters, we want to make sure that the hunters have enough hogs to kill and hunt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, something's wrong with this picture, brother. But I wanted, in the next hour, if you would call and give me 5 more minutes of your time, I want people to hear that, why you do this, and why do you're feeding? You've been feeding for years, and this isn't, you're not putting the cats out there. So I want people to understand what we're dealing with.
We was working with the Humane Society on that trap and neuter and return policy, and that was working fine. Mm-hmm. But when Ed Underwood's office goes downtown, they send him out here, and a cat walked on his car, and he didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he gave me the order not to feed anymore. That's what started this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a break, and then if you want to call back in the next 10 minutes or so, and then we'll pick up this cover. But I want to talk with you just a little more, and then we'll go forward on this pausing of the 100 ducks.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
Okay. All right.
Aloha. Yeah, this is just something. If you think that we're being served by agencies that protect our interests and our environment, one can claim many of things and say that this is what they're doing. But I'm going to be the first to tell you, the conservation efforts in the state of Hawaii is shamefully and woefully inadequate, and the little bit that we do have is tainted with corruption, special interests, special favors. The legislators should look at the entire process, because if Hawaii's reliance on tourism and its claim that it has one of the largest lists of endangered species, step back and ask yourself why. We have something wrong. We're riding the horse backward, I think, because On one hand, we want hunting. On another hand, we want to do forestry and timber and all and all of that. And this is an island, a unique island. And then we want to have farming and pesticides and what have you. And we fight that and we lose that fight. And then you get all of this. I don't believe there has been an honest day where someone actually stood up and said, this is nonsense. This whole process is nonsense. This thing called conservation, it's like building something on a shoddy shack and trying to build a high rise, and you just stack more and you stack more, and the foundation is not stable. And this is why we see a decline in our populations of birds, and why we see other species. And the thing about an animal being listed on the list, this is a human decision. This isn't to really speak to the status of the animal, because the status of the animal could be threatened anyway and endangered. But the feds and the state drag their feet for political reasons. They have to work it out with certain landowners and certain companies to make this, then they will accept it. So we'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show. 528-4181 is the number you can call, or 524-9510. CarolCox.com.
Second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here at KWAI 1080 AM from 9 o'clock to 11 AM on Sunday mornings. You can also catch us on podcasts at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. You can also share your news tips with us at carolcox.com.
For the Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and a lovely day here in Hawaii, Nate. Talking about many things, and Whatever you'd like to talk about, I've invited you to call 524-9510. I think I have Don Pilippi still on the phone here again. Are you there, Don?
Yes, I am, Mr. Carroll.
So I wanted to know, over these years, have you received any assistance from the state government? You were feeding the cats, and you were in a trap neuter release with the Humane Society that the Humane Society was condoning this project and as well as supports it, right?
Yes, we used to, we had Jennifer that had the Cats and Friends. Mm-hmm. She would do the trapping for us, and she'd go in the office and talk to them and explain what we was doing and everything, and it's been accepted for many years, that position. But since Ed Underwood come down here, that's not good enough. He just wants to get rid of the cats, period.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
All right.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You said I could ask you about anything this time?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to ask you, have you ever heard of Reginald F. Lewis?
Who is he? I don't, can't.
Reginald F. Lewis is technically considered the first black American billionaire. I just wonder if you ever heard of him.
No, I may have. I don't, Reginald, what
I wish
is
you could
this?
Do a show, I wish you could do a show on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because see the Philippines, people from the Philippines know about him too, because one of the richest ladies in the Philippines was married to him, and she inherited all his wealth.
Okay.
So I thought maybe a guy like you, world traveler and all, might be aware of Reginald Lewis. And also, he is also the only one that has a international law dedication written in stone at Harvard.
Okay. Well, let's look at that. I'll look at Reginald's last name again.
Reginald F. Lewis. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book. There's only one book he ever wrote. It's very hard to get. It's called Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? He's the first black American billionaire, man. And that's serious business. In my personal life.
I know we're talking about mixing up here, and I have Don on the phone about cats and whatever, but I want to hear from you and others out there about this Donald Trump latest revelation. I could call it a revelation because it reminds me of the old plantation when you ask that how does he intervene and say what someone's getting paid too much? I bred you, I imported you, bred you, and so therefore I own you, and so you are an implement of my farm, so therefore you pick 100 pounds of cotton a day or else, and that's your worth to me. What do you mean I'm going to pay you?
Well, you know, I heard something about that on the radio too, and about the, is this related to the NFL you're talking about?
Well,
whenever I hear stuff of that, like that going on in that context, regardless, what I really witness is that this all goes back to the Constitution. The Constitution was designed for people to have freedom. And I noticed that when certain people exercise their freedom, their establishment buckles. They don't want everybody to be free except in their context.
Mm-hmm.
So I see real clear when these brothers decide they don't want to represent the flag, the national anthem, and right here in Hawaii, right in Waianae, they're known for not worshiping or honoring that same national anthem in their schools over here. But I don't hear nobody mention that. So when I see that, it to me just goes back to the same old thing. When a slave didn't want to be a slave, they created a mental, they created a mental diagnostic criterion and turned it into a mental illness. And it's like whatever a slave decides they don't want to be a slave, it's always going to be a problem, Mr. Cox. And I think that's just another example of that. Mm-hmm. Right now, Donald Trump is the master of the slave plantation called America, and the slaves was revolting. Same scenario. But I want to listen off the line, okay?
Okay, thank you. All right. So, Donald?
Yes.
You better start speaking up before your namesake hear that we're talking about these things and banish you from America. You know it's a federal crime and against humanity to care about cats. You know that, right?
It seems to be.
You're likely to be 80 some years old and living on a boat, and they snatch your permit for your mooring permit. And
yeah.
Well, we could probably work around that though if it ever comes to that. We could take your boat and sit it on state land and declare that it's a new ark.
Yeah.
You up for that?
I'm up for anything right now.
No, but so you're participating in this program, trap, neuter, release, return, or whatever. And I get it's a tongue twister, but the same thing: caring for the animals and not being inhumane and the destroying them and what have you. So the question is, you've been doing this for a long time, and when it was condoned, and I've actually seen myself some of the workers feeding cats that work for the state. Have you?
Oh yes. One of the high uppers was feeding the cats there. Megan, I forget her last name. Sacks or
Stats.
Something.
Stats.
Like
Megan Stats.
Stat. Yeah. Yeah. She fed them herself. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And even Debbie, I think, put a can or two out every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to feel for them because they're in such an environment where they have no control over anything.
And how do these cats find their way to the harbor, Don?
Well, when I first started this, I pulled in the parking lot and there was three cat carriers sitting out there with two empty ones and one cat still in the deal, too scared to get out. And I stopped and petted it and fed it and everything. And the next day I'd come back and give it some more food. And I started doing that. And they started pulling out the weeds once they knew that somebody was caring for them, the cats.
And mm-hmm.
I just kept doing it every day. And we started trapping Jennifer. Over 20 years now, Jennifer have cat friends. Come down here and did the trapping for me and everything, and we got them all neutered and scheduled. We was doing just fine.
And this was with the knowledge of the state, right?
Yes, they knew what I was doing for years.
Did they ever go out and try to trap the cat themselves and then take it and have it euthanized or get it adopted out or anything?
Only after Ed Underwood moved his office down here, they started trapping, and then they started leaving the traps in a fenced area, armed with bait, and leaving them over the weekend. I called the police, and they come down, and they said, well, yeah, we see what's going on, but there's nothing we can do about it. And so,
were there traps, cats in the traps at any time over the weekend, just sitting
no,
there?
No, the caps was... The bait they used was not very good. They had it in a sack hanging in the trap, and the cats was ignoring it. And every time I'd drive by it and I seen a cat sniffing around there, I'd stop and run him off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he got in there, there's no way I could get to him.
And he'd sit there all the weekend in the sun and die or injure himself.
Yeah.
Because they bang them.
That one trap I was talking about stayed there for 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
Unattended and still baited.
See, that says a lot about the DLNR. They can't even do use the right trap. They can't do nothing right.
Well, it's when they first started, they was trapping and catching cats, and they would send them to the Humane Society, and the Humane Society would call Jennifer because the cats was registered in her name and under their program, and she'd bring the cats back. Well, he caught her bringing the cat back, and Ed Underwood, and he told her not to even come around anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he threatened her too, huh?
Because
setting it up, and then but he didn't do anything. Did he hire an exterminator to come in and trap and kill the cats, or did he just ban her from coming to trap and neuter them?
No, but Mattson did. They hired somebody to come in and do away with their cats, and I don't know what they did with them.
Where's Mattson's at?
It's just across the road, across the canal there.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the Mattson facility.
Well, it's all...
Okay, the Mattson container.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
that's
the different
line, yeah.
Okay.
They have... There's a lot of cats on this island, on Sand Island and this point.
So now you're being told you have 6 months now to you're going to renew your permit and your mooring permit, and you'll have 6 months.
After 2 years of him messing with my contract, he's finally give me a 6 month one. Most of the time it was 90 days. Every 90 days I had to go in and plea for a new contract.
Mm-hmm. So basically he was harassing you because exactly. There's no law. Obviously, if he wanted to take an action, he would have filed a complaint against you or had the game wardens give you a citation or some kind of legal action taken. But he didn't do that, so he resorted to just harassing you, holding your mooring permit at
hostage. Well, that's the same thing he did to that guy over on the Big Island over his boat. You know, they kicked him off and then wouldn't give him a permit because they changed the size of the mooring that he was on to a smaller boat than his and wouldn't let him get back on. I don't know what the end conclusion of that was, but that's total harassment.
Yeah. And that is true. They will lend themselves to the harassment, and you can appeal to David Ige's office to get any relief. It's as if I don't know. For the 28 years that I've been here in this state, this is the first time. Abercrombie was horrible. Linda Lingle was arrogant and just aloof. But this new introduction of the way things are run, David Ige, if he pick you to lead one of his departments, that becomes your department. And he is not, what I've seen, he does not intervene. He does not use his governor's authority. He gives it back to the people that inflict the injury on you. And then in turn, he just does not, and his staff.
That's correct. That's what he's doing.
Here's a situation on the, there's a monk seal that died on the Big Island, well, on Molokai about in August. Now, some say that it's a strategy of enforcement and that it was, they didn't disclose this to the public because it was a strategy that they had chosen and would be and hope to find the person that the perpetrator that did this, right? So the state goes and I offer this story for two reasons. It relates directly to the cats because, see, one of the other big lies and the fallacies and the manufactured the lie that NOAA and the others are advancing in some of the contractors is that it's toxoplasmosis, and it's a deadly threat to the monk seal. And so the toxoplasmosis coming from the cats, so therefore if we could get rid of the cats, we're going to have a kumbaya and the world's going to be perfect for the monk seal. But that's a lie. The reality
that,
is...
That is a total lie, because the other animals eat cat feces and they don't die, so why would the monk seal die from cat's feces?
But again, so... They were so worried about that, you know, and they want to arm themselves and with poisons and spears and darts and blowguns and whatever, anything you choose, whatever method you want to. Take an issue with that, Dan Dennison, if you'd like to. I have no problem with you objecting, claiming it's fake news and inaccurate, but we'll leave it at that. But this on Molokai, the seal is found, and they, in August... And the public is not informed. But now, isn't it funny? They say, well, it was a sort of a strategy to try and catch the guy that killed the, right?
Yes.
Well, okay, well, first of all, the feds never went to the Molokai. Secondly, the observer, these are the people that see a monk seal on the beach and run around and throw a rope around it and go, you can't come past this rope. And this is a real management of the monk seal.
Yeah, and the way they operate.
That's the extent of it. And so they then do a necropsy and find out that it died of suspicious, behavior. Suspect. So I wrote The DLNR and asked for records on this because they were involved. I asked Suzanne Case and through that process for these records about, basically I'm asking for information request was produced by state conservation officers at Moamomi. A report and an investigation should have been generated. These are the things I asked for. The state says, nah. We ain't going to give you anything. The first response was, it's a Noah's case. Okay? But I had known back in 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, that it was not. Noah was never on the site other than the observer, and that observer is not a Noah employee. So it wasn't someone collecting evidence and photographing and all of that on the enforcement. So they kept it quiet.
Yeah.
And give them the little break that it, as they might claim, it was a strategy. Okay, it was a strategy, and you thought maybe by keeping it silent, the culprit or the perpetrator would feel guilty one day and go, oh, my God, I killed that monk seal. I'm going to throw myself at the mercy of you. That's never going to happen. Shouldn't say never, but it hadn't happened. So then the state refused to give me any records. So I wrote the governor and said, hey, look, at a minimum, there should be reports or there should be photographs, there should be something. It's on official time. And Suzanne Case and her sergeant-at-arms, Mr. Dan Dennison, basically blew me off. So I wrote to the governor and said, hey, thank you for your email. And instead of telling them to correct it and release information. Well, they said, the Department of Land and Natural Resources has informed me that the National Oceanic Atmosphere Administration is currently heading the investigation of the death of a Hawaii monk seal on Molokai. DLNR has turned over all of its records to NOAA to facilitate NOAA's investigation. If you wish to obtain the public documents concerning the incident, please contact NOAA. Now, if they're public documents, and I'm asking them for the documents, and they know that they're public, why don't they release them? They being DLNR. So two occasions I worked with the governor's office, and two occasions I got blown off. So whatever arguments you advance with this IGE administration, I'm going to tell you, I never tell people who to vote for, but based on my experience with this guy, He won office and he went on vacation, and it's like, I don't have the mindset, I'm not interested in, it's your thing, I appointed you, I pick you, you were confirmed, it's yours. and I'll back you whether you're right or wrong or indifferent. I will back you. And that's the mindset. And it's not good as far as I'm concerned in communicating in open channels with the government and transparency.
Yes, they feel that they can do just about anything they want.
Oh, yeah. And I am really, really disappointed in the environmental community. It's like, okay, you got her in, the gentleman Chang, what was his name, that was, you balked at him. But Suzanne Case's strategies and everything seems to be just tainted with conflict and special interests. And, you know, and look, when that monk seal was born at Caimana Beach, they were out there. It was sickening to see all the attention given to that one incident of birth. And then, in turn, every other day there was a news story. There was something about it, the DLNR. But one get clubbed upside the head and killed. Oh, we're not going to tell the public that because it's a strategy, which is a lie. It's what it's saying is that we want to hide the real working relationship that we have. See, because if you're not in the know, and that's called the Joint Enforcement Agreement, GEA, J-E-A. And that is the feds got lots of money. So they come along in the town and they have agents and what have you and who really want to work and do their job. But then you have the biological side of it, NOAA, who wants to keep things quiet, make things look good for the fisheries, raise no issue, look like they're perfect, and then put it, the officers, the enforcement and the investigators want to do their job. But, it's, you know, they're really not the main interest. So they give, let's say, $1 million to the state of Hawaii. And the state of Hawaii goes to the site when the public calls in. It's the state that goes respond, not the feds. It's, you know, but again, the feds is saying we need to kill the cats to protect the mongoose, but then when it comes to protecting the monk seal, guess what? They're sitting on their thumbs. And so there's something badly going broken here. It's not functioning right. When you're responsible for protecting the monk seal, the critically endangered species, then you should, when there is one killed, your officers or your agents should be on scene documenting, because you don't know if you find one dead, you still shouldn't take for granted that, oh, it died because it had a hard night last night. You can't draw any conclusions. You should investigate. So, and there are other animals that have died on Molokai there, and yet the feds don't go there. I don't know if the public knows this, so I mentioned this to debunk the fact that if they're worried about and taking these drastic measures against cats, then why aren't they just taking simple measures to protect the monk seal and investigate? They got lots of money. So there is something, I guess what I find offensive about this whole process is that one big lie, and they're just embracing themselves and ingracing themselves with money and hiring contractors to come out and lie and manufacture things.
That's the deal right there.
And wanting
hire somebody else to do it.
Wanting, you know, and I don't see NOAA speaking out on injection wells.
You don't know what they do.
They keep it
to themselves.
Right, but as far as injection wells and septic tanks, you would think NOAA would be just hell-bent on addressing all of this and being aggressive and active, because we have an endangered species and other turtles and what have you that are easily threatened by these. And how are they threatened? Industry, you know, by antibiotics and medications and what have you seeping out of these septic tanks and cesspools and injection wells, right? And ingested
thing, you know. This harbor here, if they were so concerned about the feces and everything, they dumped sewage in here for years.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 o'clock, you didn't get in the water because it was There was a lot of stuff floating around your boat every night. What? They've done it for years. And there's so many people in this harbor that's got staph infection from that. And they're worried about the cats. And that all the cats is a clean environment. They bury their stuff, you know.
Well, it's still in the environment and percolation and all, but I think the issue is, I just hate it when my government or anybody lies to me and say, well, we're doing it for this reason, and then, but the reality is what they should be doing, they're not. They're shirking their responsibility. And then the quick fix is, give me a gun and that's a solution. Give me a bag of poison and that's a solution. Give me an electric shock device and that's the solution. Give me traps, that's a solution, right?
Yeah.
And give me enough money for a bounty, that's the solution. And then we don't have to do any work. We just, you know, it's kind of sad, you know.
It sure is.
That this would be allowed, but the pollution as far as sewage and whatever, they talk about the harbor and how the health and welfare of the people and the environment. How many houses sits out there off the lagoon out in the ocean there?
You mean on that fishing island?
Right, well, they call it a fishing island, but how many houses are there?
There's about five.
And what happens to their waste?
I don't know.
The state hadn't hooked up and the city hadn't hooked up a sewage line to those houses.
So, no, they don't have.
So there is commercial activity going on out there too, jet skis and what have you, and they bring and take people out there. There's commercial activity bringing these people out, inviting them and letting them ride the jet skis. Wonder where the people are going to the restroom on after being picked up at the docks and taken out there to ride the jet skis.
That's a question for. Ed Underwood, because he ran one of those for a few years out there.
And so my question is, so this is debunking the big lie, you know. They pick everything around them. Oh, yeah. And what it all translates into is that there's millions of dollars that is available through grants and contracts that the National Marine Fisheries Service and the DLNR want to find a way of channeling it and getting it to their friends. Because if they were worried about the health and welfare of the animals, of the monk seal and the environment, they'd be spewing from both ends. Right? There wouldn't be anything left or left out. They would be straight across the board. We need to patch up the sewer tanks. We need to ban the activities. If you're going to bring people in to do commercial activities in this harbor, and I thought you couldn't do any commercial activities in the Kehe Lagoon, can you?
Well, they rearranged a lot of things that they can do on commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not up on it, but I know they changed a lot of things.
But the people that are coming out there have to go to the restroom sooner or later. And
yeah,
so what,
they lock our restrooms. We don't have a restrooms even for ourselves.
So they rent you the boat space, and then they lock the doors to the restrooms down there, and they don't give each person with a permit a card to enter the bathroom?
They don't give everybody that card, but that's the only way. After 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there's no place you can go.
But you can use a card after 4, can you?
Yes, you can use the card 24 hours.
Did they issue you a card?
Yes, I have a card, but not everybody has a card.
But I mean, if they are boat renting a slip and legitimately there, they should. Are you saying that there are people that are legitimately renting and on a slip and don't have access?
Yes, I think you have to have a liveaboard to get it. A card for the showers and the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. So you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot and at their mercy, huh?
Totally, yes.
And you're required, your boat, you have to take it out to the buoys every, what, how many days?
Well, every year you have to take a buoy run and inspection. But the way they was messing me around, I had to do the buoy run and inspection every 90 days.
That's why I ask you that. I figured there was, you had alluded to this before. And,
yeah.
And so on an average person, the normal practice is, the process is that you get your permit, your mooring
for
1 year. And
yeah.
You have to take your boat out to the buoy once a year.
Yeah. Yes.
But so to inflict injury on you, you have to take your, they reduce your permit to every 90 days. And so therefore you have to go out four times a year, right?
Yeah, well, sometimes they don't require the buoy run, but they do the inspection and charge me an extra permit.
So you're, and how much is it per permit, for 90-day permit?
$8.
And how much is it for annual permit?
It's $8, but you only pay it once.
But you're paying it four times.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you do look like you have a lot of money.
Yes, thank you.
You shouldn't look so rich. It's attracting the thieves to come and get you, man. But no, that is very sad. You're as manini or petty as it sounds, that's substantial when you're on fixed income.
Yes, it's harassment, what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Getting what they want.
Yeah, just because you're feeding cats.
And yeah, well, the whole thing started over Ed Underwood telling me not to feed the cats anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think he had that authority. And he didn't have that authority, so he went around and canceled my contract.
Right, and so
after I paid him, done it for a whole year, I was all set, man.
I see. Because you're feeding the cats, he just took upon himself. Well, there's no rules against feeding the cats. There's no law.
That's right.
And so he decided
that I'm littering and causing a health hazard and all this stuff.
And then due process, did he take you to the land board and have it reviewed, or did he took it upon himself to inflict
on himself? Yeah, totally all on himself.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote me a letter when it first started out. I think you posted that letter in your Facebook deal.
Mm-hmm.
That started this whole thing.
And what's really sad, if the listeners out there and want to see it at Carol Cox, I invite you to go look at it to see how ridiculous, while they're chastising and taking these petty actions against Don, and saying that his actions are causing rats and the collection of, and by just leaving food there, it's unsightly and what have you. And then if you just turn around, you don't even have to turn around, and just walk around the harbor, hundreds of tons of trash.
Yes.
Just dumped. Oil leaking on the ground, oil seeping from the ground, from 48,000 gallons admitted leaks on the adjoining fuel tank farm, and you don't see anything, no letters written by Ed Underwood against that or anything. I filed a complaint, and by the way, you can see that too. I don't know if you saw it, the complaint where the state went there and confirmed what we had witnessed and our concerns, and file the complaint.
You got it. You know pretty well what's going on down here.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, the people should go and look, and you get an idea how, when someone's petty running government office, and how you say, well, how does one arrive at this point that they would lend themselves to this kind of behavior? Don't they have any respect? No. They have something about power. If you disagree with them or speak your own independent thought, they see it as a challenge, or they need to put you in your place or reprimand you, and then become creative as how they reprimand you.
That's the way they run this office, and the people are scared to complain about anything because they always come back with some kind of a program to charge them more money or to come out.
Yeah, and they can unilaterally take these actions, for example, against you. If you say no to them, which would be your right, if they tell you stop doing something that is not illegal, and then you continue, they then become creative and use the law, not even the law, just their in-house rules, or it's not even an in-house rule. It's just manipulating circumstances to cause injury or inflict injury on you.
I'm an example of that very action right now.
So are you going to try to go to the... I think your story needs to be put out there even more so. I don't know the...
Well, you know, there's nobody to complain to. I went to the Attorney General to see if they could check and see if there was any criminal activity going in there. Mm-hmm. And he told me that Ed Underwood is his client. He couldn't talk to me about it.
Well, that's true. The Attorney General's office represent, and in fact, not only that, it has an assigned Attorney General deputy as a counsel.
Who would you go to complain about mistreatment? Yeah.
Well, I would have
go to.
If I knew 2 years ago, I would have said, go see David Ige, you know, and file a complaint. But now I think I'd be sending you in the wrong direction. But I think the only way you get any relief now is through public display or public bringing in and trying to get media attention. For example, Wesley Choi, remember him?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
What happened to him? What he was in some nefarious activities working under Ed Underwood, was he, or was it prior to Ed Underwood?
No, he was under Steve Thompson.
Right, and then what happened?
He got caught extorting money and stuff, falsifying records and stuff. And he only got about 3 months in jail out of that. I don't know what fines or anything he had to pay, but... He's back in the public.
Yeah, he's not working for the state, is he?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, they caught him red-handed. In fact,
but I think he's getting all his benefits from the state.
Mm-hmm. And while you got to go and get a permit now you got 6 months, huh?
Yeah, I got 6 months.
Well, things are looking up, brother.
I might go back to my red room, and I don't know.
But if you feed a cat, you're out.
Yeah.
and by the way, don't you dare dress up like a cat come Halloween. I'm telling you, my friend, they might shoot you.
They just might. I know that's in their mind.
So anyway, Don, it's unfortunate, but we'll try to do what we're doing with our little efforts.
I just hope a lot of people show up at the Capitol on the 27th to show them that there is people that care about these animals.
At state capitol.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, I appreciate it, and I'm always keeping an ear to the track, listening for crazy stuff. So, as much as it sound weird, I should be going doing something else. But it's when you're 81, and some disrespecting bureaucrat who has a littered past with. Malfeasance and questionable behavior and all, to be able to inflict injury on people at will, with liberty, just freely. And you have no outlet to complain to. You there's no checks and balances, even
that's
for
right. Most. I have no way to go. They do have some kind of a panel they put in that is supposed to make decisions for us, the people. But they pick channel.
Yeah, down in the boating community there.
Yeah, we used to go to the school, you know, and everything was out in the open and recorded, but they took that right away from us and gave us this panel. And to my deal, my lawyer that I had, he told me that you have to request to get this panel to even make a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these lawyers don't want to buck the state, because a lot of them work with the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're very careful about what they do around the state.
Right.
There's no outlet for me.
Yeah, we're left to our own to defenses, actually. And you don't think it that way. You can't go to your legislators, because if you go to them, they write a letter going, Don was in here complaining, and what do you say? Well, Don, tell him to go away. Okay, here, Don, here's a letter back from the boating office. What did it say? Well, go away. Well, what need did I? Why did I have to come to you? What reason? What's your purpose, Mr. or Mrs. Legislator? You know.
Yeah, that's true. And when they got a file on me that's big enough to put in a laundry basket, and anytime you want a page out of there, you got to pay 50 cents.
50 cent out of the book that they keep on you, which is public record.
Yeah, I paid them $48 for the material to fight them in court, and then my lawyer didn't want to go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the public information, you got to pay.
Yeah, but they'll give it away to their friends, and they'll give everything away in free mooring and. There's boats out there that have not been, that have sank in navigational hazards, and they won't even pull them out of the water.
That's another thing. They take these people's boat and crush them without court action or anything. They just, their own actions. They just go take it.
Right. Yeah, and that's the other thing when I file a complaint on it, actually, where there's so much. There's lead in the keel of sailboats, right?
Yeah.
And not just a little lead. And then there's toxic paints and hazardous paints that are anti-fouling agents bacteria, to kill the limu from growing on the side of the boat. And, with copper and all the chemicals in what's the paint? The bottom paint. With fungicide, algicides. And fiberglass. And they just drag the boat up on the shore and then smash it with the backhoe.
That's what they did.
And they weren't fired. They weren't prosecuted. They weren't even threatened with a removal of them or suspension. But you feeding the cats.
Some of them might be only 1 month behind in their payment, and they take their boat.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Wesley Choi was taking money from some of these guys and not putting it down on the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ed Underwood come in and Wesley went to jail, they went and got this guy's boat and crushed it. And he was paying Wesley every month.
Right.
He wasn't behind.
But they said that he was delinquent, but he actually was paying and wasn't getting a receipt for it, and they...
That's exactly right.
Seized his boat, and then did they destroy it, or...?
Yes, they destroyed his boat and took all of his outboard motors. He had brand-new motors.
That's right. I remember that.
$5,000 worth of brand-new motors on his dinghy.
And didn't give them back either.
No, they sold it and crushed what they didn't want.
Wow. Well, maybe one day we can spend some time looking at their stuff, but this is reality. They are treacherous. I mean, it's in the amount of people. Nobody should have to live in fear of your government, especially
when,
you know.
That's why I don't want to see them get the power to do whatever they want.
With the cats.
In some of their ideas.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you joining me, and thank you. I for some of you out there to listen, so what's the big deal? Well, it's never a big deal. But it is if you find yourself in these predicaments, then it becomes a big deal. So,
yeah.
Right, Don?
Yes, sir.
I mean, 81 years old and have to go in and register your boat every 3 months now, when it used to be 1 year, once a year. And there are other people committing other acts down there that are completely and clearly illegal. Drug use, drug sales, all kinds of things, right? Even prostitution.
Yeah.
And yet, they are not getting their boats flagged, and they're not having to come in and do these things, right?
That's right.
So, I think when you get that bull, the state put a bullseye on your back, you might as well change your name to Target.
Well, Ed Underwood put a bullseye on me, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what we can do, and I hope the public join in and ask the governor, don't give them the authority, the right, the freedom to be more abusive and inhumane.
I agree with that.
All righty. Well, thank you, Ed, Don. I appreciate
thank
you calling
you.
In. Aloha.
Ciao.
All righty. Mr. Don Filippi. Anyway, the DLNR, you might think what you want, and I'm not ranting. I'm just, I would say, giving you just a fragment of how corrupt and how the way the system is set up and lending itself to abuse by these people. The land board itself is corrupt. The land board, you get people sitting on there and you ask, oh, he's a nice guy, she's a nice guy. But at the end of the day, the decisions that are made are corrupt. And many of them get involved and they give their qualifications and all, but they have relationship with Suzanne Case's former employee, the Nature Conservancy. So it just the entire thing is questionable and should be looked at. And for the governor to assume that we're going to, he said that he's not worried about Colleen Hanabusa. That might be true. What I would be worried about is David Ige himself, if I was David Ige, the lack of ability and lack of control that exists. You take, for example, he stands by and watch the health department, the solid and hazardous waste here office and whichever ones, they're going to move up to Manana, up at the old state facility going up Pearl City, up in the mountains there. The bus, the nearest bus is about from the office door to where you drop off. If you need to catch the bus to go to the office up there, you're going to have to foot it for a quarter of a mile maybe. Uphill and then come back down. So who would think that they've not said that they're going to be putting a shuttle bus in so that, you know, it comes down and pick people up and you drive them up. So just that act alone, not making the office accessible, putting it back up on the mountain there, you won't get any access to it. Could have said, no, we're not going to do that, or openly say that this is our solution to this. We're making a drastic change. This is what we're doing to accommodate the public and giving them access. So I think the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the Department of Health, is one big piggy bank that it is draining us. And the money is not being spent on the real issues that the money was intended for. It's being squandered. We can't get the proper inspections and investigations and timely results in sampling or investigating complaints at various sites that are known to be contaminated and known to be emitting chemicals into the water, into the air, into the ocean. All you do is get this runaround, and it's orchestrated runaround. Now, it's not just done out of stupidity. It's this runaround, this shirk of responsibility is done intentionally. If the system's broken, then you can steal all the money and divert money the best way you want to, with ease. But if it has people assigned to these positions, you got to spend that money, and then you got to show that they're doing some work, and there'll be a product. But if you don't fill the positions, you have the money, you squander the money, divert it to other projects. That's what's ailing the state of Hawaii. And I would say in the next 10 years, we're being a bigger cesspool. Really. We spend more money in this state at chasing our tail than anything. And it hurts because you know that something as beautiful as Hawaii, that you start off with it and then you end up with nothing. Absolutely nothing. You wouldn't be able to tell if it's in the back streets of Los Angeles. Everything is cemented. Everything is covered up, fenced, boarded up, built up. And then the last vestiges of or remnants of habitat, they go into that and want to poison it, want to fence it off, and to keep the pigs out. So I think there needs to be a complete revampment, overhaul of the states. If they're serious about this endangered species and protecting the environment, they're going to have to let something go. They cannot be providers of hunters hunting for the deer and the pig and the domestic fowl or the fowls that have become feral or what have you, and then turn around and be managing cats. You gotta, if you're really worried about anything, you worry about all of it. So anyway, we'll talk later on, and thank you for joining me. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can catch me at ThinkTech on Olelo. I have a show there on Sundays. It'll be airing today, actually. And next Sunday it will be another show on Cat Friends. So thank you for joining me, and I appreciate you. Aloha.
Every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.